Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, and I love Him. He loves us so much, and He's doing things to bless us all the time. The Holy Spirit is always moving, always in motion, always raising people up for people. And I love to pray, and I thank God for everybody that prays, that God will send laborers to His ready harvest. And that we have to protect each other with our faith and authority. Steve Quayle said something about authority. He had a 2019 conference, and he was talking about functional authority. Now, I heard people teach about authority, but he said how people have knowledge of authority, but how many people have functional authority? And he warns people about things that's coming upon the earth. Jesus said men's hearts will fail when, you know, because of things that's coming upon the earth. In the days of the tribulation, people are going to see things they never seen before, from above and from beneath. So it's going to be, it won't be like it is now. And even now, you have to have authority to resist the wiles of the devil and satanic activity in every form it will present itself. So we have to have functional authority. Now, it works. When I learned about authority, I found that it really works. And I listened to the tape. Mr. Austin let me use his Believer's Authority CD set that Kenneth Hagin did. And I listened to it for about 30 days, and I had to give it back to him. So after I had listened to it, and I'm thinking about it one morning, I'll never forget, I said, "Lord, what if I rebuke the devil and he don't leave?" And the Lord set me straight. He said, "When you tell the devil to go, he's got to go." He said it like a gentleman, stern, but like a gentleman. I heard this. I said, but what if he don't leave? When you tell Satan to go, he's got to go. And I did it one more time. But what if he don't? When you tell Satan to go, he's got to go. He shouted it in my ear. I heard him. I can't tell if I heard him with my ears or just in my spirit, but he shouted it. And I was afraid to ask him again. But that word got down in me, and I had no concept of authority not working. And from that point on in my life, I operated in a greater measure of functional authority. Now, ever since 1983, I operated in authority. Kenneth Hagin was not the first person that taught it to me. A guy named Chris Lucas, a co-worker, a friend of mine. He went to, he was an Italian Catholic that went to, and when he got saved, he went to the Church of the Nazarene. And obviously he had a good pastor that, he helped me get some foundational things straight. God raises up people for people. And he was one of the key people in my life. And, you know, the few years that I worked with him, he really, he was a blessing. And he didn't, I mean, it's not like we talk for hours at a time. Every day, I was reading the Bible consecutively. I started at Genesis. And when I got to a puzzling point, I tell him about it. And he tell me about it. Because he had studied it. He got saved before I did. And he was just a blessing. And not only did he do it, the Holy Spirit caused him to say what I needed. And he was one of he had the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues. And then he went to a teaching church. It's one thing to have the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues, but if you don't have a good teacher to train you, you know, you can be full of the Holy Spirit without wisdom. But he was full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. And we were about the same age. So age don't mean anything. It's dedication and sincerity that makes the day. Nevertheless, I learned authority also from Elder Lewis, he was using it. He had functional authority. He taught us how to rebuke the devil. And, it was more so I saw him operating and I operated in it. I didn't have a choice. I used to work on cars in all kind of neighborhoods. I had to use authority. It was just a way of life. But when they started having gunfights, that's when it really, I found out I can't be defeated. You can't be defeated if you won't be defeated. And so we need God's word. Now, I was just thinking about, meditating about how something that's necessary in the body of Christ. How, you know, the Lord is ready. The Holy Spirit is ready. He has people he want to raise up and train and guide. And there are people now in this generation that were following better than the generation of the 90s. And not to mention downplay anybody from the 90s that's actually following God to his specifications. Now, when I say to his specifications, I mean to totally yield to the Lord. Before you do anything, any change in ministry, you take it before the Lord. When you hear revelation, you run it by the Holy Spirit. You search it out. The way we handle revelation is very important. You can't just agree with revelation knowledge, and you don't have to critique people when they give you revelation knowledge. It's obvious. Because whatever comes from God is first pure. It's nothing wrong with it. And it's detectable that it's nothing wrong with it. Something's good about it. Love believes all things. But what I'm saying is, when you get a known revelation from whoever God gave it to you from, you can't just agree with it. You have to embrace it. You have to catalog it. You have to let it be yours. From this point on, this is going to be engrafted in your lifestyle. It's going to be, you're going to use this as a way of life. That's how you handle revelation and not let it get away from you. Now, years ago, the Lord told me, he said, whenever you preach, bind the spirit of blindness. So warfare is very important. Authority, that's why I mentioned authority. It's very important. You can't just go out and do God's will without anticipating a fight. Satan don't want people to know. And when it comes to, if you give a lot of revelation, and I gave revelation because God gave it to me, he would teach me things and I would teach others. And I would teach what they needed. Now I assume that they'd receive it because they needed it, but it doesn't work that way. Satan's trying to hide God from everybody. So the Lord said, bind up the spirit of blindness. And everywhere I go, I had to do that. So I didn't do it. And I said, Lord, I keep forgetting. What can I do to not forget? He said, practice. Now, as I practice the word, practice taking authority and binding the spirit of blindness and keeping Satan out of the mix, everything went better and smoother. And I started the concept of fighting ahead of time. You know, I talked about that in yesterday's broadcast called My Covenant. That was yesterday's broadcast on the 19th. I ended it talking about how I learned about you can fight ahead of time. Me and a guy named James. James had he was a prophet. He had two revelation gifts and the gift of prophets. And what he spoke one day. We was in the yard talking. Sometime he'd help me paint a car. Because he was a painter. He painted trucks. He had to stop because of health reasons. But nevertheless, he was helping me that day. And we were just standing out there talking, and he said, you've got a word in your house. I said, really? He said, yeah. So I went to my closet. I had a hall closet, and I kept my magazines. And I took them out. And one was from James Robinson. And then I picked up the one that Kenneth Copeland, the Believer's Voice of Victory magazine. He says, that's it. He pointed out, that's it right there. So we opened it up. And Kenneth Copeland was talking about, he said that if Chicago had dealt with Al Capone when he was small, it wouldn't have taken an army to get him out of Chicago. And then we kept reading the article. And the Lord told Kenneth Copeland, when you know you got to preach somewhere in advance, sometimes he knew of engagements 2-3 months away, he said, always take authority against that date. And my eyebrows went up. I said, oh, really? Now, I don't have to just walk into a storm. I can clear the path. I never forget that. So the very next time I preached at my dad's church, and I think I read the magazine after I preached at my dad's church that time. And a guest minister invited me to preach at Twin Towers. Oh, it was a retirement home in North Birmingham in those days. And after I learned that was the first place I was going to preach after I learned that principle. And I was about 2 or 3 weeks out before I would preach. And so every day I told Satan what he couldn't do against that date. And it was the smoothest, in those days, the smoothest time I ever had preaching since I've been a preacher. I got called in 87, and I guess this would have been around 89 or so. Because I met James around, I think when I was working on that 300ZX, it was around 89, I think. Anyway, it worked. You know, you listen to the prophet, you prosper. There's two prophets I listened to, and I prospered from it greatly. It helped me with the aspect of authority. When they had the gunfights, I knew I had to rebuke the enemy every weekend. That's when it always started. That was their custom, to fight for whatever reason, starting around Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and sometimes in the middle of the week. But when it was like a regular reflex, you just take authority before you go to sleep. Satan, you can't kill nobody, you can't hurt nobody. You can't. If I hear escalating voices, I immediately tell Satan he can't kill anybody or hurt anybody in Jesus' name. Functional authority. Practice. It's not much, the focus is not on authority as much as it is practicing the revelation that you're receiving from the Lord. Use it as a way of life. Keep it. Because that's what, you know, it said that, I think it was in John's account, what it was about, or Luke's account, the parable of the soul, one of them. It said that we hear the word, the good soul hear the word, receive it, and bring forth fruit with patience. Now, that's the key. You have to receive it, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. And so, God has given a lot of revelation, and some of it is lost. The people let it slip. The enemy don't want people to know God. He's trying to hide God. He's always trying to hide God. And we can't let him win. He's crazy. It says, this is Luke's account. It says, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. So they keep it. Every revelation that comes from the Lord, that's my goal. That's what I do. And I don't depend on myself to do it. I ask the Lord to help me do it. The reason I ask the Lord to help me do it is because He can. That you have to. If you involve God, He'll be involved. And from a long time ago, Elder Lewis said, in the 80s, he said, in the early 80s too, get down to business with God and he'll get down to business with you. Give him something to work with. In Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, Carolyn Stevens read it every day for 4 years. Or let's say 84 to 87. No, 83 to 87. Every Sunday she'd read that scripture. That word got in my heart. Together with the way Elder Lewis would always receive a message from the Lord. And when the Lord called me to the ministry, I said, Lord, I didn't want to preach because I felt like I don't want to preach wrong. And I don't know what I'm doing. I knew I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know what to do. There's two problems. I didn't know what I was doing and I didn't know what to do as a minister. And the Lord called me to preach. So that's how I felt about it. Until he gave me a message. When I saw he give me a message, I had a new strategy. I knew what to do now. I won't do anything until he tell me what to do. And sometimes when you don't know what to do, you're more effective because you'll depend on the Lord. Now, the new concept that the Lord taught me, from the 1990s and up, 89 and 90, he started teaching me, he taught me that the biggest problem is people don't follow him. When you know what to do, go and ask the Lord anyway. See if he'll add to it. There's a word that I heard watching Star Wars called hubris. Now, until I was watching one of the new Star Wars movies. I like Star Wars. One of my pastimes. And the word was hubris. And Luke Skywalker used it to when he was talking about how the Jedi Order fell, you know. And that he said in their hubris, that's how they let the enemy rise up and mess up everything. And that was in The Last Jedi, you know. That's just a fun pastime to me. But he made a good point. And so I never used that word. And the day I looked it up, I said, I'm going to look that word up. I could tell about what it meant by the way he used it. But I said, I've been intending to look that word up, and today I did. It says excessive pride or self-confidence. The self-assurance, hubris, among economists was shaken in the late 1980s. Hubris. So, excessive pride or self-confidence. And see, this is why it stuck out to me when I read, I said, that's a problem right there. Hubris is a big problem. A person can be successful. If you follow God at all, you're going to be successful. If you begin to do his work, you're going to be successful. It's just the way it is. But the problem, the blinding problem, is self-confidence. I know what to do, so I'll do it. But there's a lot more going on than the success that we experience. The enemy is working in hidden places, in the shadows. And he works, he's against the things of God. So a lot is lost because of hubris. But it's not intentional hubris. It's unintentional, but that's just how it is. Because the Lord told me, I said, Lord, he gave me information that I really needed. I said, why didn't you tell me long ago? He said, when a man leans to his own ways, he can't learn my ways. And I said, wow. Then my next thought was, what else am I missing out on? So I learned to acknowledge God. When I don't know what to do, of course, and also when I do know what to do, and that's the concept of following God. And as the Lord taught me to follow Him, I started learning concepts that I knew that everybody needed. and I saw things in a greater way. And I, you know, because of love, the first thing you want to do is share it. But sometimes people think you're just trying to be something you're not, or you're trying to tell them what to do and things like that. But now, and I ran into all sorts of conditions doing what God gave me to do. I was terribly misunderstood at times. And so I said, Lord, I don't know how to help me relay this, what I found out. And he did. He told me what to do, and I did what he said. But I would try to share it with people. But it wasn't the most popular message, because people like that a form of control. In other words, you can't, if you're going to do the things of God, you can't have the mindset anything like Satan's. Hubris is a false narrative. It's not, let's say you learn something from the Lord, it works, but there's more to learn. The thing you learn is not going to solve every problem. It's just even authority. Authority stops, you can stop the enemy, you can stop tragedies, you can stop tornadoes. But you still got to heal, get the sick healed, you got to get people saved. Authority is useful because you can stop satanic activity at your will, but you still got to minister the word of God. So if you have great success in one area, there are other areas you're going, and other categories and time frames you're going to need other things. Timing is important. Sometimes people, they don't do the best job of following God because they do it out of season. If God tell you to do something, the anointing is time. Timing is very important to the anointing, and to help prepare people to enter into new glory. So you can't wait too long when God wants you to move. And you can't, just like you can't operate too quick, and you can't be at the wrong place or out of place. You can't be out of place. You got to be in place at the right time, and then God can set things up, and the anointing will be utilized. So now try to explain that to somebody, and you're in your 20s. You're not supposed to know stuff like that. In the mind of those that have hubris. So that's why God told Jeremiah not to don't say you're a child. Paul told Timothy, don't let anybody despise your youth. Be the light in all cost. Let your light shine. Don't turn the light down for anybody for any reason at any time. Always operate according to the word of God. The knowledge of God, the wisdom of God. Now, I had in my mind a way how everything was going to go when God gave me something to do. And when it didn't go right, and I didn't know things that I learned later, I'm in the dark about it. I didn't know what to do. But you know what kept me balanced was the teachings of Jesus. Walk in love. Before he sent me to any pastor to give a word, he gave me a strong love for pastors. I had a deep love. When you don't know what to do, love will help you, and wisdom will help you, and being pure-hearted will help you. Those are three things that will always keep you balanced: love, holiness, and wisdom. Holiness in the sense of purity. Nothing impure can come from God. So, when I was in the dark about things, the balance came from my love for the people and my obedience to Jesus. And it helped me not to take things personal. Sometimes I was tempted by the enemy to be angry, to quit, to not want to do it anymore. But I always came back to balance because of I love God and I gave him a vow. But as I continued, things got more, I didn't know that when it comes to any revelation, the person that received it first can see what other people can't. I didn't know that. I thought in my mind, in my hubris, that if I received it and it was desirable to me, it'll be desirable to everybody, but that's not the way it is. Revelation can challenge you. Some people feel challenged. Some people feel because you learn something ahead of your years, some people get offended. They take it all kind of ways. Some people are amazed, but they don't enter into it. They're amazed, but they don't enter into it. They don't see the point. They don't see what you see. It's just like finding a diamond. If a person didn't know what a diamond was, it wouldn't be valuable to them. You know, like a 4-year-old kid. You know, the chances are, it's happened a lot of times, a kid is walking in Africa and pick up a diamond worth hundreds of thousands of dollars and skip it across the lake. You know, there's a lot. Anywhere there's a volcano, there is, you know, you might find diamonds. Be in Hawaii, anywhere. If you get there, oh, that's a shiny rock. You see, it looked rough because it just came out of a volcano somewhere. And they skip across the lake. And the same thing with Revelation. You have to embrace it. You have to receive it. Embrace it. Not only the kind that'll put you forward, but the kind that'll keep you safe. The Word, the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. Sometimes what the Holy Spirit will show you is not pleasant. He'll show you the truth of things so that you won't have hubris, so that you won't be in the dark. Self-confidence is, you know, the enemy loves when Christian people are self-confident. That's his arena. He, you know, let's look at his statements. He had a lot of stock in his own, you know, with hubris meaning excessive pride or self-confidence. Keep that thought in mind. Look at what the enemy said in the when we first met. Well, when we saw when we see what caused Satan to be Satan, he was an angel. God don't make anything. Nothing impure can come from God. Lucifer was pure in his original state. But he decided to be a traitor, a turncoat. He said, verse 12, this is Isaiah 14. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. See, he had to, now, while I'm at this, he was not the greatest angel in heaven. He had to ascend into heaven. He was on a planet. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. See, other jurisdictions, he wanted to exalt himself above them. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. You know, in Job chapter 1, that was a meeting place. Now, years ago on the radio, a guy gave me this bit of information that he said that all the angels from all the places, when you see a sun, you see that's a star, okay? And then around those stars are planets. And the people of God, they meet somewhere in the, you know, in the great congregation in the sides of the north to present themselves before the Lord. And then in Job 1, Satan came also among them to present himself. So he's going to sit in a high position in the sides of them. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Now he had to ascend to be there. He this was not where he was stationed. This is not where he would. He was trying to get in places that he normally couldn't go. Verse 14. I was seeing above the heights of the clouds, so there was a greater realm there. I would be like the Most High. Hubris, self-confidence. The enemy can toy with people. When pride looks within. The Lord taught me that. He said, faith always looks to God. Faith looks to God. Pride looks within, not to the Holy Spirit within, but to your own abilities. That's what pride does. Hubris, self-confident. And people miss out on so much because of it. It's a huge problem. Because all Satan needs is a leaven, a little of it, to derail people from their best destiny. You can't think like verses 13 and 14. You can't think like Satan and do God's will. But see, when you say don't think like Satan, now that's a no-brainer. You don't want to think like Satan, but you don't want to think like he thinks. You don't want to think worldly. You don't want to think lustful. You don't want to think pride. You don't want to think greed. That's the world system. Because verse 15 says, yet thou shalt be brought down the hill to the sides of the pit. So people fall when they think like the enemy. Don't think like the enemy. Consider these things. Embrace the revelation. Think like the Lord and go forward. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord. Stay in victory. Stay in covenant. Stay ahead.